previously on Unranked.
You know what? It's actually a really important birthday because it's the birthday of the Unranked podcast, which we decided to also release on St. Patrick's Day a year ago today. So let's not keep the fans waiting. Episode 106. This is our 2-year anniversary. Happy fucking birthday, guys. 3 years of podcasting. We've made it. We are officially 3 years old. Hey, everyone, and happy 4 years of the Unranked podcast. That's right. Wow. We're here celebrating 4 years of the Unranked podcast.
Today, this episode comes out, and it is 5 years to the day of the original episode one of Unranked podcast coming out. What's up, Unranked podcast? It's the 315th episode of the show.
The armor in the back.
It's our 6 year of podcasting. It's our 6 year birthday.
So we've been doing this for 7 years.
Happy birthday. It's the 367th episode of the Unranked podcast.
Is this like from Dune? What is this? Wait, I'm sorry. What? What's happening? Oh my. 6 and 4, Saga 2.
Wow.
What the fuck was that? Is that the thing that Tom...
Yeah, happy 8th anniversary to the Unranked podcast. It is the... What a episode number. It is the 420th episode of the Unranked podcast.
I'm honestly right in that zone, so let's do it.
2 decades of podcasting. We are on our... We're entering our 9th year. It is our 8th birthday.
2 decades.
We started in the 2010s, and now we're in the 2020s.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, is that what the saga thing means? That apparently.
Well, no. So saga. So let me introduce. This is Christian Humes here, episode 420. We have Alex Hunemarinel.
Hello.
And Thomas Caswell. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, everyone. Holy moly!
So we have in the past discussed, you know, series, seasons, right? So we've finally locked it down, the delineation between the different breakdowns of the show. A season is delineated by the Pokemon generation. So we're on the 4th season of the show. A series is based on what year we're on. So we're, you know, series 8 of the show. And finally, saga are separate delineations within each season. So now that we're entering a new series of season 4, we're entering our second saga, so that we have, you know, separate breakdowns throughout.
I like it. You know what? That made more sense than I thought it was gonna. So there we go. Excellent. Yeah, it's great to be back. That was wild. Listening, watching all
but
that.
But how happen. Did you? Okay. For those of you who are not video watchers,
well, this is going to be hard to explain. Dude is going to
at the
to
end of the previously on when Tom was laughing, but you couldn't really because he was like kind of like holding it in, and I was saying what is going on. Chris was in a shroud, in like a desert ish,
on Arrakis.
Yeah, and he was wearing a cloth. And he
did you know it was Chris?
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. And then Chris turns and he's like fucking.
But there's a spaceship in the background
with the cloth around his head.
Also, need to explain that we're all watching this video. Chris isn't doing all this live. This is him in a video that we're watching at the end of the thing.
Right. So, how did you. Okay. Apparently, you knew about this. So, how did you know about this? What's the situation?
It's funny because the moment Chris said, Tom knows about this, but he doesn't know that he knows about this, I was racking my brain and I was like, it's going to be that. And it was, and that's awesome.
But how do you...
So on Sunday...
How do I reconcile this, please?
So on Sunday, Matt and his company, HyperRPG, they do a lot of production now. They're not a streaming company anymore. They do a lot of like branded production. And one of the things they do is they have like a mini volume. So instead of like the big volume that Disney has, where you go in, the whole thing surrounds you with these LED walls. Yeah, this is a small volume where it's like, imagine, you know, like a 15 by 15 foot wall or so of LED wall panel. So they have like a robotic arm and they set the scene up. So like some of the physical props are there and the camera's there, but then the camera tracking is also tied same way like a VR headset is tied to like the way the video moves. When the camera moves, the video moves with it. And so on that LED wall, they have Arrakis. And so they threw sort of like this kind of like mixer, like for like industry people. So like people came and they showed their tech off. And, you know, so I went over and, you know, talked to a bunch of cool people, and they were having people come in and sit down, like, you want to film a scene on Arrakis? And that was like the demo they had set up. So
that's very cool.
But how does Tom know about this?
Because Matt posted a clip of it, and I saw that Tom had liked it. So I knew that Tom knew about this.
That's really cool that you got to do that, because that setup is so sick.
So cool, Tom.
I've talked to Matt about it. And, you know, it's really awesome for that team because, you know, they had somewhat of a success in, you know, streaming. But, you know, they pivoted to this production thing and it's been paying off for them. They have worked with some massive clients. Like, being able to do production like that, but on ostensibly probably a more affordable budget, like, is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really jealous that you got to do it. That's so cool.
Once I filmed that scene, I was like, I got to find a stupid reason to put this onto the show. And then I was like, all right.
Now,
watching series 8 come in.
Saga 2. Now, Tuna, what did you think had happened? How did you did you have any thoughts about, like, you saw that and you were like, okay, he must have done it. This must have been what it was. Did you have any idea how he did that?
Oh, I just thought maybe he was in his garage. Like, you know, and
did all of that. Amazing.
Yeah.
To be fair, I was in a different garage.
Yes.
Because they converted a garage into a volume. So
I just figured you were in your garage and you wore a shroud and you just put that shit behind you. That's
I mean, in a way, you're not wrong. It just wasn't my garage.
Yeah.
Chris saw a volume on Instagram shop or whatever he gets his recommendations from.
Yeah,
he's like, fuck
it,
I gotta buy
it. TikTok, gotta get it.
I gotta buy it.
Right.
8 years. You know.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It is.
Tom, you left, you went away, you came back a year older.
Yeah.
Along with the podcast.
32. And Chris pointed out, he was like, in 4 years' time, when I'm 36, we'll have no... And you'll be 40? Is that correct? Is that how the math
gross.
Works?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
When I'm 36, Chris will be 40, right?
Yeah, because I was saying when Tom turns 36, I've known him half his life. Because I met Tom when he was 18, when he started working at the Apple Store.
Right. Ooh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, we're you know... Look, we're closer to the Legend of Zelda Wind Waker HD re-release as we were when that came out to the original Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. So
yeah,
you know, one foot in the dirt is where we are.
Sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of foot in the dirt, let's talk about today's Pokemon. It's the 420th Pokemon. We finished Float Soul off.
Season.
Cool Pokemon.
Last saga.
Today we have a new Pokemon line. It is the Cherubi Pokemon.
Okay.
The Cherubs.
The Cherubes.
The Cheruba.
So this is a grass type Pokemon. Design wise, it looks like two little cherries that are connected through a leaf at the top of them. Very much looks like this could be a, you know, Zelda Kokiri style, you know, character NPC. Like, this totally could be some type of Zelda character.
I agree.
Kind of cute. It's pinkish, not really red and green as far as colors. Right. Alex, tell us about its name origin.
So let me tell you something. Again, with the trivia section, very minimal. Sparse. Not a lot of trivia. Cherubee can be spawned in all existing tree-based mechanics that can spawn Pokemon. Honey trees, headbutt trees, berry trees, as well as shaking trees. In games where Cherubee is available. Cherubee appears to be based on a cherry. Cherubee may be a combination of cherry, cherubic, innocent or childlike, and ruby, a shade of red. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
So the biology on this, I think, is actually the most interesting part.
The biology.
We usually get into the biology. Yeah. The biology.
Yeah,
so I mentioned it's like two heads, but it's actually like you got the main head and then like the twin that didn't develop in the womb.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like the eyes are closed on it and the mouth is open, but the head is, I'm going to read this verbatim. The second head is vestigial in terms of function, but it contains nutrients that contribute to Cherubee's growth as its initial source of food. So basically, it's just still like feeding off of this. This is very like, you know, twin in the room that's like absorbing the other twin. Very weird. Also weirder, the second head is apparently edible and has a sweet taste. Several Pokemon such as Starly edible, have been seen trying to pluck it off. When the second head begins to bloom and wilt, it means that Cherubee is close to evolving. The second head detaches after it evolves, which becomes food for other creatures. Very weird Pokemon.
Very cool, weird, folks. Yeah. Cool.
I'm going to read you a Pokedex entry.
Yeah, go for it.
It evolves by sucking the energy out of the small ball where it had been storing nutrients. It's a weird... This is a fucking twisted
Wait,
Pokemon.
So it's also sucking on a ball?
The little one. The little head.
Oh, okay.
It is pretty weird.
You were right. That was more interesting than its actual trivia. You know, I got a soft spot for this one simply because I'm a big Cherry Haribo fan, and this looks like the gummy cherries.
Yeah.
So that for me is a plus. Looks tasty. I'd eat this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but other than that, not feeling it.
Yeah. So then let's take a look at our notes. Let's pull up the list. Tom, you
Floatzel. Yeah, I like Floatzel where it's at. I don't hate that.
But it's pre-evolution, Tom. Buizel is number 9.
Yeah.
Got into the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Cracked the top 10.
Happy for
Great
that.
Great call, really. Wow.
Yeah, I really think that first that's a great Pokemon.
What was the other one we did, Alex? Was it Pichirisu at 14?
It was the...
Yes, that's a mouse one, right? Fuck, have I been gone for three? You've missed three episodes.
Wow. Yeah, it was Pichirisu. Oh, yeah, it was the Pikachu knockoff, which is... It's good, but it's not...
It's okay.
You know.
Yeah. I'd put this one around the Burmy area. Around the Combi.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that
Combi
too.
Combi Burmy area, you know.
I like that too.
I'd put her there.
We like it more or better than the B? Is the question.
I think I like it more than Combi, but I wouldn't put it above Vespiquen.
I'm happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right, coming in at number 23, Cherubee. We are now up to 34 Pokemon on our list.
Yeah.
Wow. Great. Well,
Saga 2 off with a bang.
Mm-hmm.
Tom.
Mm.
Alex and I mean, look, you went pretty off the grid.
I was off grid.
You were off the grid. So, like, I really don't know a whole lot about your trip. You didn't post
I thought you were about
lot.
To say, I really don't care.
No, I'm just like Tom was like, oh, we should do a real quick episode tonight, right? Because he wants to get some game time.
Sure.
And I'm like, Tom, I haven't heard a thing from you for 3 weeks. Catch us up.
We saw some picks.
Oh, I know. There were some picks, and there was
some stuff going on. All right,
but
Tom,
he was unplugged.
Catch us up. All right, catch us up, Tom. He wasn't that unplugged. He was fucking watching Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, come on. You got to watch Survivor.
Good stuff.
Survivor's great.
Nothing better than sitting in a hot tub that smells like eggs and watching Survivor. I tell you that.
Oh, sulfur. Yeah.
The sulfur mm-hmm. smell there. Taking mm-hmm. a shower. Mm-hmm. Fucking miserable experience. Mm-hmm. It's not that bad. You get a bit used to it.
All right. So where'd you go? What'd you do? What happened? Yeah. What situation?
Where did you come from? Where did you go?
I wasn't actually offline too much. I simply wasn't using my shooting photos and taking photos time by taking generic stuff. I had my fucking twin reflex camera that Brooke had got me. If you've ever seen them, I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but it's a if you've seen those boxy cameras that have the literal two lenses on the front, it's that. So it's an mm-hmm. actual film camera. So I was using that, getting my money's worth out of that. And then mm-hmm. I was also shooting like actual footage with my phone. Like I used the ProRes thing and shot a bunch of stuff with that. So I spent my, you know, Brooke was taking the pictures for Instagram and the selfies and all of that. So I used my mm-hmm. time a bit differently there. But went to Iceland. Incredible country. I will say, once you see one rock, you've seen them all. No, it wasn't like that. The topography was actually in parts really interesting, like the diversity. And then
Tom, I got to be honest with you, not to cut you off, but I am going to cut you off. And I get that is part of Iceland, right? And that is some of the draw there. But I don't think I've ever heard someone come home from a vacation, and I think the second thing they have said being, so the topography was incredible. I mean, it's something to be seen. I don't know that I've ever, you know, but continue.
I mean, that's part of the draw for sure. It was a great trip. Saw the Northern Lights.
Very cool. I'm very jealous of that, gotta be honest.
I joined the, actually during our first viewing of the Northern Lights, I joined the ex-girlfriend club because I got engaged.
Congratulations. I wasn't sure if you were going to announce that because I hadn't seen... Yeah.
Congratulations.
Was that the soundboard or...
No, that was me.
Oh, really? I didn't see any hand movement.
Oh, no. Oh. I did clapping on the soundboard. But it said clapping. I didn't realize it was like sarcastic. It's a one hand.
Amazing. I'm talking about it. Yeah, I'm not hiding anything. That had been my plan for a long time. I was very stressed out because it's the lights are not something that you can see all the time.
True.
And only come in certain conditions.
Right. And, did the ex-girlfriend expect it? Did she know it was coming?
So here's a really fucking funny story. So she was simultaneously surprised and also like had an inkling. Okay. But she was surprised in the moment for sure. I have a video of that, which is really funny. I had planned it for a long time, was stressed about the lights. But she had, I learned about her ring size because I texted you guys. I was like, how did you guys fucking find out ring sizes? And Chris was saying about his, he was like, I measured her finger while she was sleeping with the piece.
That's what they tell you to do. You get a piece of string, you wrap it around, and you just measure the length of the string that it takes to wrap around the finger.
So I was like, I don't even know where we have string. Like, I just was like, I'm not doing that.
Where do I get string?
And then, like, I didn't want her to wake up and be like, why are you putting string around my finger? Then
Teresa's narcoleptic. She sleeps like the dead. It was very easy.
Yeah, I didn't have that luxury. But anyway, we were driving one time, and Brooke, she had some old jewelry that someone was going to like change into a ring. Like it was an earring that was going to be shaped into a ring. Mm-hmm. And we were driving one time and she was trying out her rings on her fingers. And she went, she's like, I hate the fact that my fingers aren't all the same size. Like this ring fits on this finger, but it doesn't fit on this. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was like, perfect time to drop the question. I was like, what ring size are you? She was so focused on her fingers and she was so focused on being frustrated by the fact that it didn't fit on the right finger and all this. Mm. And she was like, my ring finger is this size, but this I think is this size. Da, 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 da. I was like, great. I have organically received the information I need.
Did you write it down so you didn't forget?
Like, no, it was an easy number to remember. I think it's like a pretty standard like woman's ring size.
I see.
And so anyway, with that happens, and then so I asked her. I was like, because a friend of ours told me a couple of weeks after that happened, and was like, "Oh, so you?" She says that you asked about ring size, and I was like, I don't know why she would think that that meant anything because of the context of the situation. And Brooke revealed to me after we got engaged, she was like, oh, I was just putting hints out there. She was like, I verbally was talking about it to kind of see how you'd react. I was like, you know, we just seen Dune. So I was like, you Bene Gesserited me. Like, I thought that it was the Messiah, but it's been planted here for thousands of years. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, got engaged under the lights. That was great. Yeah, and we were staying near the capital city of Reykjavik. We went there multiple times. We ended up, because we were initially in a more remote place, and then we had an apartment in the city for a couple of days. Everything you've heard about Iceland is what is correct. It's beautiful there. It is very expensive. Food is very expensive. Alcohol is very expensive. And those are the two main things that you're spending money on.
Sure.
Weather is crazy. Like, you'll be in a part of the, you'll be driving and it will be bright and sunny. And then 2 minutes later, you'll be in an area that is pissing down with rain, and then a couple more, you know, in another area it's like snow again. Saw some beautiful waterfalls and walked into a gorge. Yeah, no, it's really cool. Had a great
time.
That's
awesome.
We had seals in our backyard in the country because it was a farm, and then there was a beach in the bay because it was the Atlantic Ocean cutting into the thing. And had seals like literally like in the water there that we like could see every day. The Icelandic hot dog, some unsnacked. The Icelandic hot dog, amazing.
What is an Icelandic hot dog?
So an Icelandic hot dog, it's a hot dog cooked in, like broiled in beer, like boiled.
Oh, okay,
in beer.
A beer boiled hot dog.
So that's how they cook it, and then when you get it, they put underneath the first thing they put in the bun, cut up raw onion and
Great.
Fried onion, like crispy fried onion.
Hell yeah.
Put those two in. Then you put the hot dog, and then it's ketchup, mustard, and then they call it hot dog mustard. I'm still unsure of what this third thing they use is, but it's brown. It looks like a gravy. It doesn't taste like gravy. It honestly doesn't have much of a taste, but together.
Brown mustard?
I was going to say,
brown mustard.
Poupon kind of mustard?
No. It's almost like a mayo, where it's just kind of like a
interesting
thing to have.
Like an aioli.
Fucking amazing. And if you go, the place to go is there's this, if you want to get one, the place to go is this kind of just like road, like, little shack basically in the middle of the city, and it always has a long line. They were fucking awesome. Yeah, food, and the food generally there is great. It's just very expensive. Posed. Brooke's sister
under the Aurora.
Yeah, under the Aurora.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! That's sick.
We saw it a bunch more times. We had friends that live in the building with us. They came out for the second week and kind of like got an Airbnb near us, which was great. And then, yeah, when we got back, Brooke's sister had a baby.
Wow.
So now it's
a big couple of weeks.
Big couple of weeks.
And you come back and
you
come
thought
back and
your family
this.
Was getting bigger, and they got even bigger.
Yeah, it got even bigger. Yeah. So we are very excited, very happy. Yeah.
Uncle Tom coming in.
And you know what? fuck it, this is the venue to do it. I'd love for both of you to be in my groomsman party. Did you hear Brooks? You just went, wow. Yeah, okay, no.
You also already asked me 2 days ago.
What? I texted you that?
When we were playing Helldivers.
Yeah.
You literally said this exact line that you just said now.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
you
oh
said to God, me, I'm not sure if this is the venue for it, but I would like you to be. And then you asked me if I sent any gifts.
Right.
To my would-be groomsmen. And I said, no, not to ask them. I gave them gifts at the wedding.
Well, I hadn't said it to, I didn't ask Chris yet. So, you know,
I get it. So you're like, you've got engagement brain, apparently. That you're just.
He's got travel brain, too.
You got something going because you didn't remember asking me shit.
Oh, yeah. It feels like it hasn't been like any like time to recover since we got back because we had to. It was get back, had to drive to my folks, grab the dog, come back next day, see the baby, happened, and I'm leaving for PAX tomorrow, which is why we're recording early. So it's just been haven't had like just like a day. I do have a bit of brain fog, I think, from all of it. But anyway, but yeah, started out this podcast 8 years ago, not getting invited to a wedding.
Oh,
8 years later,
you didn't get invited to either wedding.
That's true. You know what? Maybe I should.
Maybe you should pull back that.
To be fair, no one got invited to my wedding.
That's not true. There were people there.
Well, there were people at Chili's.
Hey, look, I'm not the guy who invited people at Chili's.
Brooke just said,
not the guy. I mean, you had people there. We were not invited. Did you get an invite to Chili's, Tom? I did not.
Brooke just said she was like, Chris and Tuna don't have to come, but Therese and Britt have to come.
Avery doesn't have to come either? Thank God.
Oh, no kids. Just kids? No kids, good. No children.
Trust me.
We're trying to have some fun.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, so yeah,
what have you guys already been talking about that? Do you know what you're going to do, when you're going to do it, or
yeah,
do you have absolutely no idea?
We're thinking October next year, just because of the vibes, and
yeah,
we feel like that's a good gap between the proposal and
a good year and a half.
Yeah, a year and a half. But we're
solid year and a half. Solid.
But we're also like thinking if it was like 2026, whatever, just give us more time to kind of prep, because there's a lot obviously that goes into this. Even with us trying to do something much smaller, it's not going to be very traditional. We're not planning to have a ceremony and then a reception. Like, it's just going to be, we're married, we're having a party kind of thing. No kids. Brooks,
I'll be honest with you, I don't know any wedding that had kids. I do know weddings that had kids, but I've never been to one that had kids.
There you go. They're the good kind. They're the fun kind.
Mm-hmm. So what about the new baby that's going to be born?
Huh?
The new baby that was just born.
That was just born. Okay.
Yeah.
Home? Oh, yeah.
Wait, hold on a second. So you're going to get...
It'll be almost two.
Yeah, that baby can stay home. So you're going to get married, and then you'll be married for a bit, and then you're just going to have a party with us?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know that specifics, but we want it to be like, either we get married and then come meet people, like courthouse, and then come meet people for a shindig, or if we just do it not in a separate part of...
But just at the shindig.
Yeah, like at the shindig. Yeah, yeah. Like everyone shows up to the shindig. We get married
That's the one thing, Teresa and I were like, if we could have done it in the Chili's instead of across the street from the Chili's, it would have been even better.
That's what I did. That's what mine was. Mine was at wedding reception and the whole thing.
Yeah, you had a whole ceremony and everything. He's saying like it's just going to be the courthouse marriage.
And then get up and move to another space when you did the reception and ceremony?
You went downstairs.
Okay. Still, it's a vibe shift.
It's still different. Yeah. Yeah.
A vibe shift.
It's
it was not a vibe. Tom, we were out on a deck. right?
Yeah.
Got married, right? Yeah. Did the reception, got married. Went inside for cocktail hour. Yes, this is fancy. Went inside for cocktail hour. Everyone had cocktails and food.
I remember
then
it well.
Then we walked downstairs, right? One flight of stairs into the dance area.
Yeah.
And that was
the
it.
The Dance Central ballroom.
Yeah.
Regardless, the vibes of
all
each
the same
of...
vibe.
No,
all
no,
the
no.
Same vibe.
No,
all
the same vibe. You're telling me the ceremony was the same vibe as the dance floor.
No.
No,
Tom,
but I guess
Tom,
I'm
with you on this.
About,
I understand
like,
the difference. Alex doesn't want it to seem like he had a traditional wedding. He had a very traditional wedding.
Not very true. That was
it was an incredibly exactly traditional wedding. He's trying for some reason to make it sound like low stress, like it wasn't a thing. It was an expensive big thing that they spent a ton of time planning for. Whereas yours is just gonna be the party, and maybe you'll do the like legalese there, but maybe you won't. Like, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't, then you're doing the same thing I did, except you're just not doing it at Chili's.
I want people that have already had a drink, then they're drinking when we do it. And then the moment it's done, I want a plate of food in front of their mouth. Getting up, moving to do
a cocktail.
What do you mean getting up? Can I just say what I think Tom is looking for? Forget the deck. Forget the cocktail hour.
Yeah.
We're in the area. The band's ready. The dance floor's there. Yeah. Boom. Everyone's sitting at their tables. You would like, instead of sitting at your tables, you and Brooke, the way that me and Brittany sat, we do a quick boom, 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 vow, married. Congratulations. We're not moving. We're not going into cocktail hour. We're not going into here. This is the room. No one is leaving this room. This is the only room. You're all sitting at your tables, drinking, eating. We're married. Here's a plate of food. That's what you're saying. All right. I mean, it's not that different.
It's incredibly different.
It's not that different.
First of all, we were at a different location where we took pictures with everyone. Everyone's in
suits
and
tops. That was a
whole
part of the wedding. You went to
you don't need to do that. That's a whole thing.
No, but you did do it. You did do it. And then you bused all of us to the actual wedding venue where only the wedding party was. And the wedding party people, then we were in the reception area and we did like some drinks and cocktails and stuff before the wedding.
Right.
Then when the wedding time came, after we had choreographed the order with everyone to come in, we all went and stood there. You did a full normal ceremony where you had everyone come in, everyone was in, and then you did the full ceremony. And then after, it's like, we're going to go to a, although it was at the same place where you got married, it was in a different location. We had to go in. It was
literally inside the doors. It went from the deck to the inside.
You couldn't have had
it was
a
literally
more traditional wedding.
No, that's not true.
Like,
going to a church and having it at a different location. Our friend, if you recall, got married at the museum, and then we had a reception later somewhere else. If you remember that friend, I also had another friend that got married on the docks in
but
Newport,
you got
Rhode
married
Island.
At a venue that holds both. It wasn't you still got married at a wedding venue that had two distinct locations built into
your,
it for that.
I'll put it this way: every wedding that I've been to has been exactly what you have described.
Yes,
right. But you're just getting rid of the ceremony location and the cocktail location, and you're putting it into one room. And having it all done.
It's not about the one room. I want you.
Tom, do you expect is everyone supposed to wear like specific suits? Are you going to be like,
different. We specifically had a black tie preferred wedding. I've been to weddings where that wasn't a thing. You could have gotten rid of the black tie at our wedding. I didn't need to. That was a totally different situation.
The point is that you had a black tie at your wedding in the traditional format.
Tom,
you can't just
had
argue
the wedding party in advance.
You,
go to this
you
other
can't
location
just argue,
where they did photos.
Well,
first.
If everything about my
I'm
wedding was different,
that.
It wouldn't have
you
been
can't,
traditional.
No. All I'm talking about
Alex,
is
I'm
the
not
one...
including a very specific traditional part of a big wedding, so that I don't make it sound as big of a deal as it was.
Right. So it wasn't
then
that
I can remove
deal.
The aspect of
I want to put it this way. It's totally fine to have your wedding like that.
Listen, you're damn right it is. Second of all, we served McDonald's.
He's like, I'm
okay,
still
so
paying that wedding off.
Yeah,
I'm still paying that
served,
wedding off.
You
didn't
served
serve
McDonald's. We served McDonald's.
Is this Donald Trump in the White House? What the fuck is going on? You served
we
McDonald's.
We were one of the people, right? We were one of the plebs. We were down there with the. Okay.
There is no fucking way on God's green earth that at the wedding you described, you then served McDonald's. That would have been
honest with you.
The fucking funniest prank to have pulled on the old people.
I'm going to toot my own horn here.
Yeah.
The food at our wedding was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. So all that I'm saying is that you want to get rid of the movement of the areas. You want one thing. So if you have the one room situation, are you going to have someone there to marry you? Or are you just going to walk in and be like, we're married, let's party?
That we haven't. That is going to depend on stuff.
All right. I mean, the whole the vibe thing, you throw me off with the vibe. I mean, it was the same.
Didn't you also get married in October, Alex?
I did.
Maybe you guys thought the same
day.
Let me see.
Do you not remember?
No, I know the date. I just want to see if it's October 21st, but I want to see if it falls on, if October 21st, no, it falls on a Tuesday.
No one's going to a Tuesday wedding.
Of 2025. No one's going to a Tuesday wedding. So you can't have the same anniversary as us. Well, you could.
Well, yeah, we could do if we did the courthouse before, we could do that on Tuesday and do the thing. Anyway, I wasn't sure. Look, all I'm saying is that like.
Listen, I'm not a fan. I don't give a shit. All that I'm saying is that the vibe
it
thing
won't be,
talking about,
it's
I'm
not going to be,
on,
it's
on
not going to be, it's not going to be like everyone take your seats. Everyone's walking up to the front. We're doing a ceremony. Yeah. People are sitting there silent. Then they're slowly transitioning into fun party time by having the cocktail hour, which gets you a little going. Then
which,
you
by the way, Tom, can we just briefly like go over what Alex's wedding was? First, we met at the hotel.
We met at the hotel.
Alex got everyone ready. They had like the photographers here. Alex getting his suit put on by his dad. Very traditional wedding.
Yeah, none of that
then,
fucking
by
shit.
By the way, remember when Alex just mentioned another friend going to a museum for the wedding? We went to the Vanderbilt Museum to take photos, where he then traveled with the wedding parties to have photos taken for the Vanderbilt Museum. So here we are at the Vanderbilt Museum. Here's a notable of the Unranked podcast.
Oh my god! I've never seen someone.
So Alex, we did go to a museum for that, then you have us all.
I'm not saying none of this happened. I'm not saying none of this happened.
This
I'm saying
the
that
outside wedding venue,
trim,
Tom. Here we go.
Look at
how many seats there are, Tom. There's so many seats at this location, and then we're inside, and we've got food.
All I'm saying, if you trimmed all that, and you just put, if you just had the
venue, you cut out 2/3 of my wedding. We're at one location, and we just got married quickly and had a party.
All right, we're clarifying something.
This is ridiculous.
The only people that did the whole let's get dressed in the hotel room and then let's go to the event, that was only for the bridal party.
That's every wedding.
But that's not the guests weren't there. I'm talking about his actual party. The ceremony to the party was from 6 to midnight. Done. 6-7 to midnight. I don't remember. But it was everyone.
It's just funny. What I'm understanding
trim
here.
That other stuff. That other
what
stuff
what I'm understanding here is that much like the rest of Tuna's life, comparative to maybe me and Chris's life, is that traditional to you is like in Gregorian times, and then
get real.
Yeah. Or in the church, it's a 3-hour ceremony.
There's no church. There's no church.
Well,
there's no
that's,
church.
That's what I'm saying is to you, that is traditional. And you're like, I'm having a very modern wedding. Whereas Chris and
I'm saying that if you trim all the other bullshit that happened, right? Going to the Vanderbilt Museum for the whatever, for the pictures, getting ready in the hotel room.
If you
everything that occurred for the average guest, happened in the same location. You parked, you drove, you parked, you were done. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know why you felt the need to make that point or try to make
I wasn't trying to make that point. I was trying to clarify what you meant by vibes. This is how this started.
The vibes will be different. The vibes would be very different, Tom. Thank you, Chris. He's making me feel insane.
No, I'm not.
If you got rid of this, this is the chaotic energy that was missing.
So ridiculous.
Anyway,
Tom, it's been too unargumentative without you here.
Oh God,
the last
really?
Few weeks, it's been a little too agreeable. The conversation we really needed. You need a third person in so that there's always someone who's gonna. Once you add that third person, it's like. Too many opinions for people.
Absolutely
someone's
going to
disagree.
The trifles.
Absolutely. absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, so incredible. that has been my life the last couple of weeks. And then, yeah, going to PAX this weekend, which I'm very excited about. Going to be, if you're going to be at PAX, or if you're at PAX right now, because this will be coming out around then, keep an eye out. I'll be, go check out all the Giant Bomb, because I'm working with the Giant Bomb crew this weekend. Go check out all the Giant Bomb panels and other things. Yeah.
It was also your birthday.
Yeah, honestly, dude. Completely forgot about it the morning of, and the only reason I remembered, or the reason that I eventually remembered, was because in my head I said, I'm so excited to see Dune 2 again, because it was the day of going to see Dune 2 with my parents and my sister, and I was so excited for it. And so I was like, oh, that's happening on my birthday. That was the next thought that I had. And then I was like, oh right, that's today.
But you didn't get any birthday. Texts. You didn't get any. Was my text the first text that you got wishing you a happy birthday?
Yes. And
because I didn't text you till mid morning.
Yeah. I got some. The Russian
mom and dad
thing.
Nothing.
I was with my parents.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. And then the other problem with it was, is that getting the, when I went international, I didn't do the international planner. Like, I got an eSIM from Iceland. It was much cheaper and you get much more data, but it had fucked up my numbers, so that people texting me weren't like, Chris, for some reason, Tuna, you are fine. You're still Tuna Marinello in my thing, but Chris is now just his number again. And like, I have to, I don't know, relink it. You're in my contacts. So if I delete, I think if I delete the text thread, I can type Christian Humes and text you again. It will be there. But on my birthday, I got a couple of texts from fucking random fucking numbers. And I'm like, I have no idea who you are, because all my is fucked. So
you just say thank you and move on.
Yeah. Well, that's what I did. That's what I did.
You play anything while you were gone?
Nothing
new.
Yeah, so I didn't play much while I was gone. I did quick Helldivers, easy matches here and there, just to get to, like, when I had downtime. That was really all I could do.
On what, the Steam Deck?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, we saw that because we also dove and saw you on, and we were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I didn't have any way to communicate, obviously. So,
no, like, he didn't have a microphone.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been an ideal situation.
Yeah, that would be annoying.
Not really. We have people we play with. If we jump into a random match, 9 times out of 10, these people aren't talking.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're talking to each other. I feel like we're giving him a show. The other night, Tom, you and I talked for 40 minutes in that match. And they didn't say a word. And
I feel like
nothing.
I should go into private mode. It feels weird, actually, sometimes, like, chatting in the game.
It does. They had a 40 minute.
I literally asked
they listened
Tuna
to a 40
to
minute
be my groomsman in front of.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
They listened really to good. A 40 minute episode of this.
Well,
podcast.
They might have it disabled on their end, which would mean they wouldn't.
Yeah,
hear
sure.
You.
Or they're. I mean, yeah, maybe.
Anyway. New thing that I played, though, in the time since then, I've actually spent quite a bit of time with about 10 hours, based on what Steam is telling me, with Dragon's Dogma 2, a new RPG coming out from Capcom. Mm-hmm. I was very excited about this one because I really liked the first Dragon's Dogma, which was, I don't know if cult classic would be the word, but it came out the same year as Skyrim. So Skyrim,
I can't believe
kind
you're
of
diving into another RPG while you're still doing Final Fantasy VII.
I have Final Fantasy VII Rebirth to get to. Well, here's the deal. I'm not vibing with Dragon's Dogma 2, unfortunately. I'm actually...
Too many venues?
Yes. Yeah, too many. I needed one venue. Yeah, I'm going from here to here and the cocktail or something. Honestly, there is a lot of that because it's a big RPG. I'm probably going to, after the review and content period, probably going to dip off of it unless something drastic changes, which is I'm really disappointed by because I was really excited for this one. For everything it does well, there is something I really dislike about it. for people that don't know, the kind of special sauce with Dragon's Dogma is the combat. The combat is very action oriented. So you have like a heavy attack and a standard attack. But if you hold down, kind of like in Assassin's Creed Valhalla, where if you held down one of the trigger buttons, you could pull off like a big, you know, move that did something specific. And then there's different classes and stuff. So it's all about, it's a lot about the combat, and then you're fighting like ogres and medusas and all of these kind of creatures, and you can climb on them and like dismember. Like if you attack the arm enough, it'll cut its arm off. They fall over and you can climb on them. So there was this really cool combat scenario where we're facing this fucking troll, and like we were attacking it, and it was slowly like backing up, and it was right on the edge of like a cliff face. And so I just ran up to its leg and grabbed its leg and pushed it over, and it fell. And I was like, that was cool. Like anytime you're fighting like a big monster like that, that's where the game really shines. But everything else about it is like really underbaked. I think they needed another year, not only to, first off, it runs kind of like shit. I'm playing it on PC and nothing I can do gets me more than like 30 frames per second. And when I'm in towns, it's like 20 to 30 frames. And I'm on a pretty nice machine, I would say. Most people are probably going to have that issue. And then I've heard that on console, it doesn't run well either. And that doesn't help when it's all about precise actions. You know, when you're climbing, you know, you got to get it just right. All these kind of mechanics like that. And then, yeah, it just, I have actually a note, Dragon's Dogma thoughts. Yeah. So, it's way more like Breath of the Wild in that way, or Tears of the Kingdom, where it was like experimental. You're trying to find places, you're trying to figure out, you know, there's this thing over there I can see. How do I get there? Like, how do I do it? And, you know, we've talked about in Breath of the Wild and things like that, how having, it's a shame that everything has to work. So there can only be so many interesting designs you can do. Like it, all the dungeons and stuff don't live up to the past games for that fact. But this is a game where I've seen what that would look like if you had kind of this puzzle world to kind of navigate through, but you are very restricted in some places. So it's like, you can go to this masquerade, and but you have to like go to it at night, and you have to like find the specific person. But I don't know how to trigger the day-night cycle. It says like, be there between midnight and 4 a.m. There's no clock in the game to explain to me like what the actual time is. I just kind of have to guess. Sometimes the masquerade isn't on a certain night, but it doesn't tell me like what fucking time, what day it is. And it's just very kind of clumsily built, I think. And all of the stuff with like trying to figure out quests and like the fun stuff it's trying to have you play around with and tackle situations in any way you want. Like it asks for a lot of stealth missions. It's like, you got to sneak into the castle and like find these, find some evidence for this thing. But there's no like crouch button even. Like there's no way to sneak. You just have to like run through and hope you don't get detected. And if when I did get detected, I get thrown in jail and I have to escape jail. But I was able to, once I got out of my cell, like run around, and the guards didn't stop me. They just like let me leave. And so it's this game that really is trying to have this interesting kind of natural open world. And in the combat and stuff, it succeeds. But when it comes to all the other stuff, it really kind of fails. The story's cool, though. I'm at least interested in that. But yeah, I'm running into too many things that I dislike and too many places where I think it really falls short, and it's outweighing like the fun I'm having because of its design.
Yeah.
So anyway,
what do you think the game length is?
I think our reviewer beat it in 40 hours. I don't I don't know if they were doing like how much side stuff they were doing.
With the cost of these games to make them, just stop. These companies should really stop making games more than 20 hours long all the time.
I agree.
Like, really, like, people will be really happy even if it's only 20 hours. Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry, but like, what are we doing?
I think you could,
especially
probably,
if it's not that much fun.
I think if you could probably, well, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, he might have spent a ton of time. I didn't read the review yet. So he might have spent a ton of time just running around, like, fighting new monsters, which is ostensibly like the funnest thing to do in the game, from what I've played at least. So, you know, he might have been having like that kind of fun in that. But the story might be quick. Like, you could probably, I don't know, you could maybe mainline the story shorter. At least it's not like 100 hours. I think people are going to. I'm curious as to how what people's I know that we gave it a positive review. I'm curious as to see where it lands, but yeah, for me, I'm honestly very let down because I really like the first one. And honestly, with my experience, if people had to ask me, I'd be like, look, it's obviously a much prettier game and there's some really cool stuff that this new one does, but I think the first one is like a way better product.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the new one that I played, and let me know if you've been playing it and what you think, because I'm curious to hear if I'm like an outlier.
Well, is this game out?
It'll be out by the time the podcast goes out. Comes out on Friday. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm taking it you didn't download Bellatro yet.
I haven't downloaded Bellatro.
Would have been good for you on that plane.
Yeah, I might download it. For I'm taking a train to Boston, so I might download it for that. But I
probably will bring have it some to PAX.
Oh, people there will be playing it, so that'll I'll probably get some secondhand. Like, oh, now I have to play. And you can play against each other, right?
No, it's a single player game. They should. I want them to add like a multiplayer mode. Make it. They should do Alex, Texas Hold'em style. So like, we each get our own jokers, and that. But like, we have a shared deck or something like that. They should do that for multiplayer. That would be sick. They're working on DLC. They just announced, actually, they passed a million downloads. So,
congrats.
I didn't play anything different this week than more Bellatro and Helldivers. I have to say that I'm not nearing the end of my Bellatro run, but I'm nearing my goal, which is to unlock all the decks. I have now beaten all but two of the difficulties that remain. I'm one of the decks, so I only have two decks left to unlock in the game. So once I win with all the decks, then I've beaten the final two difficulties, but they're getting tough, getting really hard now. That being said, I am starting to be like, okay, gotta put a new game in the pipeline here. But yeah, in Helldivers 2, more new stuff still coming all the time. I finally fought. Have either of you guys seen the flying Terminids yet?
No.
So I finally fought the flying Terminids. They're still like not popping up that often for people. So I played a decent amount and hadn't really seen them much until I finally saw them yesterday. Not fun. I mean, it's cool, but like, fuck, man. Like, fuck them. Like, they said flying Terminids really changes things up for you, especially like the napalm isn't as useful, because if they're coming up, you know, and they're in the air when the napalm goes off, they might not get hit by it. Where so those kind of strikes, like the flamethrower, is not going to be as effective on them because it's, you know, the reach isn't as good. So you kind of have to like change up your gameplay with them. And there's like weird things that are leaking about the game. Like, it seems like we're going to expect more mutations among the Terminids. Seems like what we're doing, you know, the Super Earth is doing to the Terminids is apparently causing them to evolve and change. So
that's pretty fucking cool.
It is pretty cool.
The way that they are, the way that they're rolling this out is like what live service I think should be, rather than like, here's a huge massive lore drop every 3 months.
Yeah.
It should just be stuff that is intrinsically linked to the gameplay that is being peppered in throughout, and is, you know, the fucking messages that you get from the Terminauts or is that what the automatons?
Yeah, the automatons.
Like the theories that people have behind them, like it just creates like this meta narrative that is so fucking cool.
Yeah, because it seems like the automatons aren't actually going after Super Earth. It also seems like it seems kind of like maybe the Terminids were also like not necessarily on those planets and Super Earth, and they had humans there because there were these like weird outpost stations. The bugs aren't making those, right?
Right.
So it's like, is Super Earth wiping out other human colonies by dropping the bugs on them, and then the bugs infest the planet, and then we're going and wiping out the bugs after they did their job, kind of a thing? And it seems like the automatons are actually trying to get back to their origin planet. They're not coming from Super. So it seems, are we the bad guys?
I mean, it's very clear that we are. But to how bad are we is the real question. Cool game, man. Fucking sick game.
I will say, I'm still not over like that drop moment. Like I'm still, every time like you start a mission and that music kicks in and you start dropping, I would have thought by now, you know, like a month and a half of playing this game that I get tired of it, and it's like it kicks in. I'm like, let's fucking go.
Let's
I'm ready.
Fucking
let's go.
Go,
let's
dude.
Fucking go to war, boys. Let's go. Ah, oh, man, it's really good. It's really,
I played
really
good. When, you know, I played matches here and there over the last couple of weeks portably, but when Toon and I played the other night and I got on my fucking computer and had the ultra wide, I was just like, this game is just so, the it's made, if it's for fans of cinema, honestly.
Yeah.
It really you get absorbed into that world.
I think the next like battle pack like of stuff comes in April, they announced. But the current one will never like expire. So they're just adding it, and then you can unlock it late, you know. So like that's awesome. And hey, new weapons and shit. Great. Fuck yeah. Let's go. You know?
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
I'm really curious as to how much they have had, because it seems that they were super prepared. You know what I mean? Like, other than the connection issues, which are unfortunately still persistent in some ways.
Seems like it's worse on PC.
Yeah, I think
I haven't had a connection problem in a long time on PlayStation. So, and it seems like you also had a lot of updates to do when you tried to play.
Yeah, I had like a 30 gig update, which had already downloaded, but then I had to verify and all that. Yeah, I mean, the moment they announce fucking cross progression, because you currently don't have that. Like, if I were to buy it and play it on PlayStation, I couldn't carry everything over. They said that will happen. When that happens, if we're still playing, like, I'm probably just going to have it on PlayStation 2, because I would love to just sit at the couch and do it.
Hell yeah.
So the other night Tom and I were talking about, we're not really a tabloid podcast, but we were talking about Kate Middleton and the whole bullshit going on there.
Yeah,
sure.
So a new video came out of her walking
with
William.
Kate update.
It was like that video in Signs when the alien like goes across the bushes.
So she's walking with William, right? And TMZ was like, it's 100% her. Now, purportedly, TMZ is walking that back, saying it might not be her. It might be a body double. Yes. Yes. Chick, can you believe it? The PR team at the palace must really, they got some crack fucking people on this. It's unbelievable. I don't.
Wait. So, because this reminds me of the Melania body double, like, shit. And there was photos where I was like,
so funny.
That isn't her. Like, there's
it's
no
so funny
way
to me.
That it's her. Do you think that was the thing? Like, do you think they had body doubles for her at points?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the whole thing is so funny to me. Like, I get it that, like,
I mean, Boeing killed the guy.
Really,
so, like,
I mean, Boeing,
yeah,
fucking,
Boeing,
yeah.
Boeing definitely
fucking killed that guy.
Therese
oh
has to fly,
God.
And I was like, you cannot fly United.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, do not get on any of the Boeing Maxes. Like, if you have to, like, try and
we
take Airbus,
Boeing
but if
Maxes.
It's not an option, don't take at least get like the smaller, like, you know, the Boeings. Don't take a Max for sure.
Boeing fucking killed that guy. And then also,
I mean, also maybe not, but probably.
No, listen, Boeing. almost certain.
I mean, but also probably not, but also Probably.
Absolutely.
Like this, yeah. I'll say this. This is much... I don't feel as concrete about this as I do with Jeffrey Epstein. That guy definitely didn't kill himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I don't know. If you're a whistleblower and you're trying to testify, and then you wind up dead, I don't know.
And didn't he also say, like, he told someone, like, it was something that happened to me?
Well, but yeah, but there's no recording of that, and that's hearsay, and so...
Totally hearsay.
If
but
there was something concrete that said that, I would be on your side, but...
Hearsay evidence can admitted. Hearsay evidence can be admitted if the person is dead. So...
Just because we have a justice system doesn't mean it's good.
Oh, they're never going after. There will never be any fucking
rules of
follow-up.
Evidence, baby. No, there's no follow-up to this. And that's how you know.
They did a good job.
So, anyway, Kate Middleton, right? Going from Boeing to Kate Middleton. And I think I personally, what do I know? I don't really know anything about what's going on. If it is that she just looks bad, because she had abdominal surgery and it was a major surgery and she still hasn't recovered and she just looks bad. Do you think people would really care? Like, I get the whole point of them is the image and pristine and proper and blah, blah, blah. But do you think people would, I think it would be the opposite. I think they'd be like, yeah, she's recovering from something.
But maybe she's mad at her husband. She wants to cause drama, make them look bad.
Also,
I mean, look, if Kate Middleton
he's hooking up with, he's getting pegged by his mistress.
Parisian tunnel.
Oh,
right, that's the story. Mistress pegged him or something.
I would be
that's
such
what I saw.
I would be such a. I feel like I'd be such a good.
Now it's a tabloid podcast. Thanks, Alex.
Yeah, I would be such a good like secondary royal family member. Like not like I don't have to do like the big thing, but like I'll just be the guy that's just kind of like there. You know what I mean? Like I'd be so good at that. Just spend a lot of money. Not get into a lot of scandals.
Yeah, you're like the one son on Succession. You're like the outcast son who just like has the money.
I'd be Connor Roy and just being like, yeah, that's fine. You guys don't respect me. It's fine. I'm playing my video games. I'm hanging out. I'm living the life. That would be me in the royal family. Anyway. Nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Did you play anything else, Alex, or you just Balatro Helldivers as well?
Balatro Helldivers.
Okay, great. I got to play something else this week, just so I have something else to talk about, too, you know?
Sure. We also golfed. We played Ice Lair.
Oh, we did talk about Ice Lair, but yeah.
We played Ice Lair last time, but Tom hopefully can play Ice Lair. It's a good one.
It's great. It's a good one. Might kick off the tournament tomorrow.
A lot of fun.
Tournament tomorrow.
Right, we got to get back in.
I think I'm ready. I'm ready.
I heard you went to the hospital too.
Yeah, it was a few weeks ago. You know, I couldn't. I was losing feeling in my legs and my hands, and had to go to the hospital. And
just like in Survivor, holy shit!
When that happened in Survivor, he was like, "Oh, I'm losing feeling in my hand," I was like, "It's his neck." I knew it immediately. I was like, you got to get him out of there. He needs an MRI. And the guy's like, it might be a pinched nerve. And I'm like, no, you need to get him into an MRI. It's his neck. I know what this is. I just had this. And then the guy shows up later. He's like, we need to get you into an MRI.
Yeah. What's so funny, Tom, is because Chris's back was still hurting when we played golf with our friend the other night.
You could
see Chris like sitting down. Because all you see is the head and the arm. Yeah, but like it still tracks the motion of what's happening. So you know. So there's Chris. He putts. And the second he's done putting, you just see like the slump down into the seat. And it just really reminded me.
I could
me
not
of,
stand
like, that
long
old,
enough.
Of that like old uncle or your grandfather that used to take you like, you know, play catch or whatever. Right. And he's there. He swings, done. As soon as any active physical activity, right back down to the chair.
Yeah,
that's up for
that's
a little
why,
bit.
That's why I'm getting back in shape.
Right back down to the chair.
I just got a membership to LA Fitness. I'm gonna start swimming a few days a week. I got my physical therapy twice a week that I go to. I went to that today. Man, physical therapy, it is. I mean, the exercise and the stretching part is like tough. Like I'm pretty tired. I had it today. But the first part of it, where like I go and they put me on the heating pads and they give me the electro stim therapy where like it like electrically like massages my muscles and like stimulates the nerves, and then they give me the ultrasound therapy, and then they give me a massage. Like, that part is pretty nice.
Paid for by insurance?
Yeah, they're paying for 18 sessions, so I'm going for twice a week for the next like 7 more weeks, I think.
That's great.
Yeah, in fact, I gotta say this: we got the bill from the hospital yesterday. And finally, we're on, like, this is the first time since working at the Apple Store where I have, like, good healthcare again. Like, our healthcare, it's like the last time when I had to get a single MRI, just, and all they did was the lower back, which they probably should have done my whole back because clearly I had other back problems and we didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't approve it for me. And it was like $6,000 for that single MRI.
Fuck.
And because they wanted me to get 5 prior authorizations for an MRI.
So ridiculous.
With our old healthcare. With this new one, the hospital stay and everything.
Yeah.
The bill, we only had to pay after our deductible, which hey, now we're going to go. I'm like, we should go see every doctor we can this year. Our deductible is paid off in February.
Yeah.
You know? But the bill was $30,000 and we only had to pay $50.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I was so pumped when I've been dreading that thing coming. Like, what is it going to be? Because we had, I was in the MRI for an hour. They did my entire spine from my lumbar all the way to my neck. And I had like a hospital stay, I had like IV, I had, like the steroids, and I saw the neurologist. I saw the neurosurgeon. I saw the orthopedist. I saw like every doctor was in there. Cause basically like my symptoms were either what I do have, which is like typically unlikely for someone my age, which means this is probably the result of a bunch of like small injuries over my lifetime now compounding.
So what do you have?
And
what
it's like so basically everyone has some level of disc herniation, and like, they just get worse like over time. And like, it usually doesn't affect you too much to get older unless you get a couple bad ones, which is what happened to like my lumbar, my lower spine. But I also have a thing called spinal stenosis in the neck and in the lumbar. And that just means that my spine there is like the column, like the opening is like a little smaller than it should be, which means the nerves are already like a little bit under more pressure. So having that extra herniation makes it worse. Also, the herniation on my spine pushes against the ligaments. But I also have herniations throughout my like mid back too, not just in like my neck and my lower back. And it's just a result of like, they're like, it's probably just a bunch of different things that are happening throughout your lifetime. They're like, it's typically not something you see unless someone's like been in like a big, like, like a car accident or something, which I haven't been, or until they get into their like 50s and then like they have like things that happen and it just builds up. So that's the alternative is a thing called cortica equina, which is basically like, if they don't like perform surgery ASAP, like you're like paralyzed, which is why, like, when I went in, they were like, we have to get him in right now, kind of a thing, because it was more likely because of my age that I had that than I had
Jesus
have
Christ.
What I do have. So like, I got to tell you, it was pretty scary when I came
in.
And I hear the people like talking like with the insurance, like, and they're talking to the people at the MRI tech. They're like, no, like you have to bump them back. We have someone that has to go in now. I was like, not good. Also, I learned something that I do, which is weird, which Therese really didn't like. But so like, when I go in, they got to take blood.
What the fuck is this? Yeah.
They got to take blood.
Yeah.
And also by the lab tech lady, first thing she goes, how are you doing? And I was like, not great. She was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't ask that question. But she goes to take my blood. My left arm, I always have trouble with. Right arm, fine. Hard for them to find the vein. But, I'm just watching. And Teresa's like, why are you watching? I was like, well, what do you mean?
I watch all the time.
All
right.
I watch it.
Okay, because Teresa's...
We talked about this. I had the same issue when I had my hernia. Oh, that's right. Well, I had the same issue with my hernia surgery, was that the first lady who came in to try to get the vein fucked it up.
I remember I was all... But
yeah.
Teresa says the lady, she was like, how many people watch? And the lady was like, not many.
Is it really not many?
Apparently everyone looks away, and she was like, intensely watching. I think you were like making her nervous.
I'm watching, baby. Maybe I shouldn't watch.
I'm watching every time.
Maybe
I'm watching every time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Teresa's brought it up in front of other people, and everyone's like, "You watch?" I was like, "Yes, of course I watch." Who's like, "I watch." When they're putting the needle in, I'm like, "Yeah, someone's." I think it's weird that someone is penetrating your body.
Whoa.
And you're not watching it. If you're coming at me, I want to see it.
Well, that happened to Prince William.
Wait, hold on.
Clip that one.
Clip that line right there. Do you hear that? If you're coming in me.
If I'm getting pierced,
I'm watching.
I want to I want some level of control here. I want to manage things. I'm like the supervisor,
mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's what happened. So we recorded an audio only episode, Tom, for like 30 minutes, and then I threw back to an old episode and we played out episode 106, I think, or 105, one of those.
I can't for the rest of the episode. Listen to us.
I know. So I have a little bit of an update.
Oh,
so
pregnant.
I took Alex Chris's got penetrated. Recommendation.
He was with Prince William.
I started reading the One Piece manga, and I got to tell you,
yes,
I like it a lot better than watching the show. Yes! I just really like it a lot better than watching the show. I think it's so much better. I think it's like a lot of the show, there's just this extra fluff, and just the manga is just like right to the point. Here's the lines. Here's what you need to know. Boom. Move on. Like, keep it going. Keep
there's
it
some
moving.
Moments that you're going to want to watch the animated version part because they're like really awesome. But I'll tell you when you're getting up to them.
The manga is great. I really enjoy it. I was reading it all.
So where are you in the manga?
I'm not that far, like maybe chapter 20. But still, it was like,
what
I
is
was
that
like,
even?
Oh,
chapter 20 is like buggy areas.
Yeah, that's
right.
Now we're past buggy. I'm past buggy now.
So you're with Usopp. You're with the
But like, I don't know. There was a whole thing with the guy with the lion, and it's just like
you're gonna fly through this.
Yeah, I'm flying, baby. Like, I'm loving it. I'm loving the way I'm flying through.
I'm so excited.
It's great. I really enjoy
it.
I was excited. I was reading it all last night. So,
By the way, last week Alex has been asking me for a couple of weeks to watch the show called The Devil's Plan.
Oh yes, The Devil's
Plan. And I promised him last week, by the time we record this week, I will have watched it.
Did you watch it?
I watched the whole thing.
Finished the whole thing. All right.
In 2 days, not even 2 days. I basically started it and then finished it halfway through the next day.
Tom, I really think you would like this show.
Tom, what a competition game show this is.
Oh, it's a competition thing. Okay.
It's a competition game show. It's South Korean. Basically, these 10, I don't know if it's how many people started, but these players are put into basically an arena.
I think it's 12 players or maybe 13. Yeah.
They're put into an arena, right? And there's the living quarters and then like the game quarters. So there's a different vibe.
They all live together, like on all these shows.
There's a different vibe for each location. Right. So you have
technically
to, like,
at the same venue, though.
At the same venue. So they walk from one place to the other place. And then there's a third area called the prison. If you get sent it's a different vibe. Totally different vibe. Totally different.
I mean, it is.
Yeah. Though. So
I'm assuming it is a different vibe.
It is. Yeah, it is. Oh. So, okay. So let me set the stage. They're put in the living quarters. They basically, I'm going to assume they filmed this in a week. And
I think it was 2 weeks because they were talking about it, like how it's been like 10 days at one point or something.
So there's it's basically logic puzzle games that they play.
They're all over the place. Every game is different. Some of them are, like RNG luck, and some of them were like social deduction, you know, like people were like manipulating
each other. There's nothing like Survivor. It's not like run. There's no physical competition.
Yeah, that's true. There is no physical challenge.
There's no physical challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there is
true.
Brain challenge.
Yeah.
And social manipulation.
There's the brain challenge.
Right. And that's then there's true. Also, without divulging too much, I would say if you're going to watch it with the subtitle. I think. Personally, watch it with the subtitles.
Okay,
the
so I'm going to interject on that.
There we go.
I watch it
like
with the subtitles.
I don't
however,
like the dubs.
Look, I don't like the
dubs. Oh, right. It's Korean. Right. Yeah,
I watched it with dubs during the game explanations.
Okay, fair
because
enough.
The game explanations, Tom, the Alex are is not long. Lying when he says these are complex. You could not make this in America because, you know, like in each episode, there's basically, well, not, they don't break it down that way, but essentially in between eliminations, let's say, there's challenges where you're playing for pieces, which is what keeps you in the game and gets you to the end, or challenges where the group is playing to increase the pot. And that's not necessarily for pieces or elimination. Like, they're two separate types of challenges. Each one of these fucking things, the games are completely different from one another. And the explanations on the shortest side take like 6 to 8 minutes, maybe. Yeah. And some of them are like 12 minutes. Tom, you're watching like graphics and they're telling the rules, right? They're telling the rules and they'll go back to the people and the people are like, oh, like, oh, why is this so complicated? And the people are like, what?
But the people are also, so there's two things I noticed. One thing is that they're taking notes.
Which, by the way, while... that's what the dubs sound like. The people are like, huh? What? Oh my gosh. So many rules.
But let me tell you, me personally, it was fantastic. There's some.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's so good. There's moments.
All time game show moments.
Yes, all time. I would agree. All time game show moments.
What do I watch?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And yes. They're doing a second season. So
yeah.
It's called The Devil's Plan.
The Devil's Plan, man. I'm telling you, but Chris, there are moments that you're just like, it is. Oh.
Teresa at one point, because she was working while watching it. She just looks up. She goes, are they still explaining the rules to this game?
Yeah.
She was like, how is anyone supposed to? And by the way, there's probably half the players don't usually understand how the game actually works until like halfway through the game. And so there's very clearly like the best game players are really like leading the pack always, because the other people, they're like, I don't know how the fuck you play this game.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
The amount of times someone would be like, oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, like
that's hilarious.
You'll see. Like one of the contestants is like a K-pop singer, and then another one is like an incredibly smart, like one of the smartest people I've seen in a game show. Like that kind of smart.
Okay.
Like, I want to play Nine Man's Morris.
I do too, man. It's great. Yeah. I would love
to see if that's a game we can play somewhere.
Like this is one of the game shows that I wish I could be on.
I'd rather be on The Mole than this, this would be, I do think, Alex, that both you and I think about what game show sometimes, like, oh, what would I do best on?
Yeah,
I think you and I might actually have our best shot at a game like this.
Yeah,
at actually winning.
I would not be good at Survivor. They would vote me out. They'd be like, he is so annoying. He complains about everything. Get him out of here.
I would never want to play Survivor.
No,
I would want to play Traitors, but the Traitors is so unbelievably difficult to win. So there is a lot of luck. The Mole, I bet, is super fun, but I think this would probably be my best shot. Like while watching this, I had that same thought that you have. It's great. Yeah. Well, Alex, I look forward to you texting me your thoughts about One Piece. I won't, you know, spoil anything for you. I won't tell you anything, but you should send me your thoughts as you're going. I expect, though, you'll do that once you're actually caught up with and past where you've seen up to.
Yeah, because I've gone through 80 chapters. I've gone through this narrative now. One, two, three, four times.
Yeah.
I've gone through this narrative four times. Once when I started One Piece and then I stopped.
Yeah.
And then I got back into it. Then I watched the live action. Now I'm reading the manga. So I've been through this arc four times.
Yeah. The One Piece does a really good job of sticking to the manga version, the One Piece cut of the anime. So when you get up to an arc around the 300s, I'm going to be like, look, you just watch this, because it's basically like the length of a Lord of the Rings movie, and it is the whole arc. But there's one or two arcs that are like almost entirely action that it's worth just watching versus, you know, reading through it.
Fair enough.
I'm so excited about this. This is the best news. I then also started Manifest and So we went for burritos and we ran into Matt's wife, and so we ended up having an accidental double date at burritos. and we were talking about TV shows, which I found out Matt's wife is not the reason Matt has not watched Lost. Matt is the reason Matt has not watched Lost, because he has used the excuse that they have to watch it together and she's not available as to why he hasn't watched it yet. And I brought that up and she was like, no, he just doesn't watch anything fast. And I binge every, she was like, I'll finish a show in like a week, you know, 10 days tops, which is, I'm like, oh, that's what I do. She's like, he's going to take like 3 months to watch this show. She's like, so every time that I want to start Lost, he's like, oh, well, I'm playing a game right now. And he's playing like Persona. So he's like, you know, going to be playing a game for like 80 hours. So like he never, so now that Matt got caught, Matt has to start watching Lost because he very much got caught out in front of his wife about lying about it. But she was like, oh, you should check out Manifest. And she did warn me. She was like,
this is an old, like, Fox show, right?
Oldish. Yeah. It's not that old. It's like 8 years
old.
But
it happened already.
And then it got picked up by Netflix, and Netflix, like, finished the show, I guess. So I think it only ended, like, a couple years ago, actually.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I might stop watching it. She mentioned, like, she thinks it might be, like, weirdly, like, kind of a religious story. Like, pretending to be science fiction. She was like, but she thinks it's good enough that it's still worth watching. And I'm at like the end of the first season and I'm like, I don't think they're even pretending anymore. I think this is, you know, someone was like, I want to make Lost and make it kind of explicitly religious. I want to make like The Leftovers and make it kind of, and it's unfortunate because those parts of the story I find so unpalatable, but everything else is like, oh, if they had toned that down, I would probably finish this. But I think I'm going to bail, which is not something I typically do. I don't typically bail on a show, but I don't think I can. I texted her about it and she was like, I think it's worth it. She was like, but it is like kind of weird. I'm like, I think I'm bailing on it. So I don't know. If you've seen Manifest and you think it's worth watching, let me know, because I think I might stop watching it.
All right. So we've got stuff to do.
Yeah, we do have some stuff to do. Let's talk about how we're going to do this then.
Okay.
Talk about it, Alex.
So this is the challenge?
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so the I had a challenge suggested 3 weeks ago that we would travel from one tower in Tears of the Kingdom to the base near Hyrule Castle, and then we would pray at the statue. Fastest to do it would win. I attempted it and found that when I did this, it was extremely boring and stupid. The problem is that I was under the impression that the Zonai materials would have a greater effect in getting us further than I thought. And the fastest method that I found was to just use the Skyview Tower to parachute or glide into the next tower and then glide to the town, which is extremely boring. Took me 6.5 minutes. That's my time. I did do it. I recorded it. It's boring as fuck. So I don't think we're even going to do it. So I think we're going to nix that. If we want to do something like this, I think we would have to do a very, very short distance, a much shorter distance, that it would make sense to use the Zonai devices. I don't know why I thought I was under the impression that the rockets would get me further, or I could use like a catapult or a spring that would just launch me over long distances. That was a really bad idea. I apologize for that. And so with that, I will relinquish picking any challenges for the next one because I fucked up. So
we'll just go with the winner of the secondary challenge that got built in.
Sure. So the secondary challenge was,
let me just make a comment about this, because I tried it a few times as well, and I had so the one thing I did though was I looked up the fastest like builds you could make with Zonai, and it turns out I didn't have the right materials for them, and then I'm like, I'm in the process of going to this dungeon to get this like railing, which you need to get like 17 of. So I go and I get the fucking railing, but then I don't have enough Zonai material to duplicate it 17 times. And then I'm about to start going and getting enough. And I'm like, this sucks.
Like, yeah, you know, no, what? It sucks. The whole
Alex
thing
isn't
going to
do this. Let me just try and do my best. I tried building a couple things on my own.
I did too.
And I found the same exact thing you did. And so I also ended up just parachuting from tower to tower. And I was like, this sucks. I was like, I feel bad because like I don't want to be like, oh, this wasn't fun and I'm quitting. Yeah, so I did it anyway.
I did too. I wanted to text you. I wanted to text both of you, but Tom was in Iceland and I was just
I wasn't doing it.
I knew he wasn't going to do it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to record it just in case Chris did something really cool. And like, I was thinking maybe because if anyone was going to do something really cool, it'd be you. So I was like, look, if Chris did something really cool, we'll call it and Chris wins. But if you didn't, which is what you kind of alluded to at the beginning of this episode, that it was like, well, I was like, you definitely did what I did. So we're going to nix it.
And you know why I did what you did? Because it's been so long now since I played this game that it took me a while to figure out how to even just get to the Zonai material, how to like use the buttons again. Yep. And then in my attempts, I was making errors that like was costing me so much time that like I walked away from attempting this so many different times that I was like, I might not
also
even get a
distance,
full run in. I might not even get a full run in. I'm so frustrated by this.
And what's so funny was that was like my original idea was to go from like Gerudo village
corner to corner.
How fucking, oh my God. I don't know why. And then I remember
there
like,
is
I was,
a build that lets you travel the whole distance in 2.5 minutes, which is like unbelievably fast. But I don't, I didn't have. I wasn't going to spend like 45 minutes getting the materials I needed to do it.
No, I don't know why I thought that I could use like springs or like a catapult situation, but all right. So that's done. Okay. Yeah. So forget that. If we're going to go back to Tears of the Kingdom, it's going to be a short distance where the Zonai materials actually can come into play. Yeah. So the other challenge we did was the best hand in Balatro. And I just sent you a picture of mine, even though yours is a video. So I don't know what you want to do here. Okay. So that's up to you.
Did you just take the picture with your phone or did you send it from the Switch?
No, I sent it from the Switch.
All right.
I'm actually now going to delete my video of my run to save up space on my phone from Tears of the Kingdom because this is stupid.
All right, so that's our first ever whiff with this. But you know what? It was bound to happen.
Yeah.
It was bound to happen that we would do something where it's like, you know what? That one didn't work out. We got to... Mm-hmm. I think if there's any kind of like open-ended stuff like that, you should... If it's that open-ended, where it's not just like play a level for a time or a score kind of a thing, you should attempt it before we... announced
in my mind I had attempted it millions of times because I'd played Tears of the Kingdom and I'd made Zonai devices and I knew what I was doing, but apparently
I couldn't believe how much I felt like I couldn't recall about that game and how to play it. It made me feel like
it's
such
tough.
An idiot.
It's tough jumping back into that one.
It was really hard actually jumping back in.
All right, well, I'm gonna just export right now the video. I was thinking, by the way, with this, Alex, what we should do is I think playing the videos all at the same time only makes sense when we're doing something that's like
exactly
that it makes sense to do. Yeah, where it makes sense to do that. I think depending on what we do, maybe we'll play one video and then I'll freeze frame it and then play the next and then play. We'll figure it out just so that it's easier to pay attention to. I wish you had recorded the hand, but I understand why you didn't. You didn't know that would be your
best. I didn't know that was going to be the best, and I honestly wasn't in that mindset. Actually,
that makes sense.
The ham.
The Han Solo. Anyway, so Tom, any anecdotes from the land of ice? How much ice did you see?
Oh, quite a bit. It was when we got there, a lot of snow, but it very quickly warmed up. And then it's just crazy how like warm it can get very quickly there. And so then there was like no snow. And then there were like pockets of snow around the country. Yeah. And what would I recommend if you were going to go? Definitely just like see the natural stuff. It's really kind of mind blowing. We went to a lava show, so an indoor lava show, which is really
cool. That's cool as hell.
That is cool.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lava hasn't flowed in Reykjavik in 5,000 years. Until now.
Is how they introed it. Yeah, that was really cool.
That's awesome.
And so it's the only place that you can do that, like have see that, and they like manipulate it. They show what happens when ice interacts with it.
Sure.
That's so cool.
It's pretty
kind
cool.
Of like explain like how like fun facts about Iceland. It will just keep growing in size because it is just volcanic rock.
Yeah.
And right. So like as these things happen, like it grows 2 centimeters every year.
Ooh.
It's very
rock.
Although as the sea level rises.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Who's gonna win?
Well, who's gonna win? Let's find out in this head to head between Chooms and Tuna. Tams, so mine's just a picture.
So yours will be your picture, it'll pop up.
All right, got it.
And then after a few seconds, mine will start playing.
All right. Are we sure?
Oh, hey! You got a high card? High card, 2 million.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow, high card.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's kind of wild.
High card, 2 million, baby. All right, let's see. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, I recorded the hand.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a flush.
If you're going to do the flush, why wouldn't you use that Jupiter card?
Because you'll say.
Okay.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
32 million.
32 million.
369,000.
Shit. So I was afraid. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Oh, so there is a card you can unlock. There's a voucher that any planets you have in your consumable area work as a times 1.5 multiplier.
Jesus Christ. So what's that one? What's the card second from the left? I don't think I've ever seen that one.
The Joker. That one is. Oh, that one is if you have hearts, it's times 2 multi for a heart card.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what the fuck is going on.
You got
so basically,
play
Tommy, I'm playing a hand, right?
Right.
And I'm playing a flush. But on this flush, first of all, you see like a bunch of different cards, right? This one I turned into a wild card. So this actually could be played as any suit. So if I have a non-heart, it'll count as whatever the other suit I'm playing it with. So like you can modify your cards in your deck. This one is a lucky card. This one plays the card twice. And this one gives you extra points. Like these are like things I've done to affect my cards in my deck. And then when I played them, what happens is you have your jokers. This is where the real like gameplay comes in, is you have you end up getting jokers from the store in between each round. You get money, you say you have money, you get money to buy cards, and your jokers then apply modifiers to the hand you play. So like each card when it plays gives me coins on the left hand side, and then I have my multiplier on the right hand side. So each one of these jokers, like that one that you see like is like moving, is giving all of my heart cards times 2 multi. Then I have steel cards in my hand, which are giving times 1.5 multi. And you'll see this is the multi. It just keeps going up and up and up. Then that one gives me plus 1.5. Then I have a times 3 for my whole hand. So I'm going from 8,000 to 24,000 to 62,000 to 93,000. So I did 93,000 multiplier on this app.
And that's high.
That is.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
That is to be. Yeah. So to beat, there's to beat a deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go through what are called antes. And there's 8 antes to beat a deck. After that, after you win, you can continue on in endless mode and just go until you eventually lose against the ante. The ante is always listed by the blind. So like to win, I had to get 450 million. So I had reached a implausible like level of difficulty here, which you can still go beyond, but I have not gotten that far. This is well beyond winning. This is winning plus 50% already. I texted you, Alex. I texted the group and I said, I just won the head-to-head challenge.
Yeah. So, well, I mean,
this
you
reminds
say
me
that.
Of shit you could pull off a Marvel snap.
Well, you know. I mean, well, you say that. You say that you won, but we we were doing what was the best hand. And I believe that I have the best hand right here. Well, so it's, yeah, it's okay. It's a hook.
We're playing head to head and not Ask Master.
Right. So this is a hook. Okay. Scratch your head.
Yeah.
Okay. Pick your teeth. I don't know how there's anything better than this hand right here. Thoughts? Tom?
Is this a continuation of a bit? Or
no,
like...
he's trying to keep the win. I'm trying to keep the win alive here because I had a feeling this would happen. So
yeah. I had a feeling this would happen. No, Chris's thing is way more impressive.
This isn't impressive. This is a gold plated piece. Yeah. Here.
If that was actually gold, I'd give it to you, but it's not.
It is. How could you prove it's not?
Because it definitely looks like it's plastic.
Ting ting, ting ting.
You're not.
All right.
Winning anyone over there.
I have the next head-to-head challenge. I've had this since November.
Okay. Hit it. Okay.
Go on your Xbox. Download GoldenEye.
Oh, okay. Christ.
We're going to be doing fastest speed on the second level. So you have to beat the first level to get up to it. Fastest speed on facility on the, and I thought about this because I don't want it to be laborious and I want you to be able to take multiple attempts. So we're not, I was going to do a higher difficulty to throw more into it, but actually we're going to do fastest speed base difficulty agent. Whoever can get through and like finish the mission, you have to have like, you know, mission complete. You can't like fail for your fastest time. You have to actually win the mission. Wins.
That's good.
And it would, on the Xbox, it'll be easy, Alex. You can record the whole thing. You know, you can record.
That was a good qualifier because I was already thinking I can complete the mission real fast by dying.
You have to gain entry laboratory area, rendezvous with 006, destroy all tanks and bottling room, and minimize scientist casualties. On the base difficulty, it'd be very easy to get through the level, but this way you'll be able to attempt it, you know, a good handful of times without it being too difficult. Try and get your speed up, you know, find a couple of ways to cut corners. Get through it faster.
Okay. I like it.
And the first level is so easy that it won't take you more than a couple of minutes, you know, to unlock the second one. So the first level's cool, but I thought this would be a better one to do. It's a it's a more interesting stage. So GoldenEye on the Xbox. It's on Game Pass. So there we go.
Yep. All right.
There we go.
She blows.
There
she. All right.
Yes. Okay. Well, great.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like second saga only comes once a season. So here we are in the second saga, season 4 and series 8 of the Unranked podcast. Alex, it's finally reading One Piece. I can't fucking believe it. I'm so excited. Man.
Well, you watched The Devil's Plan, so I was like, yeah, I'll throw you a bone.
Hell yeah. I earned that one. Thank you so much for listening. Write in, email at unrankedpodcast.com, go to our Discord, drop a question at the pod, 805-738-8692. Hope you're doing well out there. We're doing well in here. But until next time, stay unranked.
Suck it. Engagements.